My army, and where my great guns are sighted, and my mortar Sevastopol. Oh, my friend, you do not deceive me. That is what you would settle.
Swaying drunkenly, yelling with rage,
what's this a thing planned with Mastiat and Agalas? Were you put into my hand so that you might spy out the nakedness of the land?
Flashy, horrified.
Good God, no.
Theodore,
and shall I cut off your garments to the middle, even to your buttocks, as the Ammonites did to the servants of King David, thinking them spies?
Baring his teeth savagely.
Shall I cut off more than your garments? And will you then confess?
He was absolutely screaming now, this frenzied drunkard who a moment since had been calling me his dearest friend, and babbling of Damocles and pregnant women, and I could only sit petrified, unable even to scramble back because of my fetters, while he shook his fists and threw himself to and fro in his fury. He began to bay, like a hound, beating his temples, and then buried his face in his hands, as he'd done when he killed the soothsayer, wailing bitterly. I daren't say a word, waiting and praying to God he'd come out of it into one of his sane moods. At last, he raised his head, filled his tej cup, sank the contents at a gulp, heaven knew how much he had on board, gallons, I shouldn't wonder, and then, as God's my witness, he noticed that my cup was empty and hastened to fill it with mumbled apologies. His eyes were rolling in his head, and tej was dribbling down his chin and onto his naked chest. But he steadied after a moment, regarding me owlishly. Theodore.
Do you know, there is an ancient prophecy that a European ruler will meet a ruler of Habesh, and whether they dispute in combat or not, afterwards a monarch will reign in this country who is greater than any before. That prophecy is about to be fulfilled, but will I be the greatest of kings? Is that to be my destiny?
Flashy, with confidence. Not the slightest doubt about it, in my opinion. Who but your majesty, I mean to say? Theodore, doubtfully.
It may be this woman who sends her soldiers against me.
Flashy. You don't mean the queen. Good gracious, your majesty. That shot ain't even on the table, I can assure you. Sir Robert Napier is under strict orders to withdraw as soon as the captives have been released. Theodore.
When did the British lion leave its kill untasted? You have eaten half the world, and shall Habesh be spared?
Flashy. Of course it will. Honour bright. Theodore, gloomy.
If they spare us, it will be because we are not worth the conquest. England laughs at me and derides my poverty.
Pauses.
Do they despise me because my skin is black?
Flashy. Certainly not. We ain't Yankees. Why, more than half the army that is coming against you is made up of Indian troops. What? Damn stout fellows, too. Theodore.
But few in number. How lowly they value me that they send a handful of the mighty British power. How many? 12,000 came over the sea, but how many now stand above the Bekello? 10,000? No. 5,000. 2,000!
His voice was slurred with drink, the thin lips hung slack in the sweating black face, but under half-lowered lids I caught the glint of a watchful eye. Or thought I did. Flashy. Can't say, Your Majesty. Enough, I guess. Theodore.
If Miriam were to ask you in ways too dreadful to speak of, would you tell her how many is enough?
No matter. Hiccups, sinks another quart or so at Tej, lowers chin on chest, sighs.
You are my dear friend. I will not permit a hair of your head to be harmed. Let me embrace you.
Lunges forward from sitting position, flings arms about Flashy's neck, groans and belches, falls asleep. As before, there was nothing to be done but sit waiting. You don't wake a mad drunkard even when he's snoring in your ear, nor do you heave him off. I'd have been there till morning, no doubt, but someone had been eavesdropping, and when the conversation ceased, he decided to take a look, cautiously opening the door and popping his head in, a ferrety little cove with a bright eye and a clever smile. He put a finger to his lips, slipped inside, took a look at Majesty Comatose, nodded, and tapped him smartly on the shoulder. And damned if Theodore's head didn't come up like a jack-in-the-box, full and all as he was.
"It is time to retire, Getau," says the ferret. "You wish to be abroad at dawn, remember, And you will not wish, he added, glancing at me, to keep your guest from his rest.
Manabat, cries